Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet.
Hello, 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 and welcome once again to ESSR Central here on Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet. I am your host, Ross McLeod, and I am delighted to say, in the midst of all the hecticness of the draft, he's been drafted back to Central, despite a strong case from David Campbell to take him as his private manslave. He is Big Sexy. He is John Isherwood.
That's probably the best intro I've ever had. Hello, mate. You're right.
Yeah, I'm not too bad. Glad to be back to a bit of normality. Hoping to talk a bit of wrestling. What about yourself?
Yeah, same here, to be honest, mate. It's been one of them weeks, I think, you know, and I think I've got another one ahead of me. So, yeah, good to kind of distract from it and talk about the grabs.
Exactly. Perfect thing to do. Beforehand, if you like to talk about the grabs, then why not talk with us? That's at Suplex Retweet, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, the Eat Sleep Suplex Retweet community on Facebook. And if you just want to listen about the graps and not give an opinion, keep it to yourself, well, that's fine as well. We've got interviews, reviews, news and on Eat, Sleep, Suplex Retweet, iTunes, Anchor, Spotify, and all good Android podcasting sites. So I think there's really only one place to start this week, and it is the WWE draft. They now do these drafts over 2 days. I've never asked you, John, what's your opinion of the two-night draft format?
I think it kind of works, just because, you know, there's so much talent to sort of move around, and obviously so much goes on off screen, doesn't it? You only get like the sort of major moves, I guess, on screen, and then everything else happens on like the bump or wherever it actually has to go off. And it does work, because, you know, there's a lot of these talents who could be on SmackDown on the Friday and then pop up on Raw on the Monday, and obviously it's good for them for the ratings. They can just pop a rating with a Becky Lynch, you know, who obviously has been now drafted to Raw from SmackDown, yet she was still, you know, being at the top of the card on Friday, and then there she is on Monday. So it does make some sense with the way that they're doing it, I think.
I don't know if I'm just a traditionalist or if it's just because that's what I grew up with, that automatically makes it better. I mean,
I get what you mean. You know, you want to see it kind of all done and dusted and it's out of the way. And I think this one's a little different, isn't it? Because there's like 3 weeks before it all properly takes effect.
I quite like that, because it now makes the TV must view, because Charlotte's holding the Raw Women's title, Becky's holding the SmackDown Women's title, we've got King of the Ring, we've got Queen's Crown, we've got a WWE title match featuring someone from SmackDown. Brock Lesnar's a free agent. He could easily just go over to Raw with the Universal title. So it does make the Crown Jewel pay-per-view, which we'll talk about a bit later, and the upcoming TV a bit must-watch.
Without even thinking about it, there's a lot going on there, isn't there?
Yeah, there's quite a bit going on. But I do like, I'm a sucker for blue t-shirts, red t-shirts,
yeah,
brands, let me say, battle royals for three picks and all that, carry on, you know.
Oh,
what I mean?
Not got long to wait for that. Survivor Series just around the corner.
I know. I'm just going to read out who was drafted on the main shows. I'm not going to talk about who was drafted on the bump and after the bell and what have you. SmackDown seems to... It seems we're in an era again where Raw needs the big stars, and SmackDown will now be a testing ground for new talent. So, round one, Roman Reigns and Charlotte Flair go to SmackDown. I'm just going to go SmackDown first, then I'll go Raw. Drew and the New Day went in round two. New Day were booed when they got drafted. Obviously, people not happy. We'll get to that when we talk about the Raw picks. Baron Corbin and Madcap Moss. Whoever's picking round three for SmackDown deserves a slap in the face. Hit Row, then drafted up from NXT. Naomi and Jeff Hardy. The Usos and Sasha Banks. Nakamura and Boogs and Sheamus. Shayna Baszler and Zayn. Viking Raiders and Ricochet. Humberto Carrillo and Garza. Cesaro, Ridge Holland and Sami Zayn all to SmackDown. That is a... It's a very eclectic mixed bunch. It's a further down we get, it's more new people. It's more people like Cesaro and Sami Zayn and Shayna Baszler, who we feel Ricochet, who could be used a lot better.
Yeah.
And it looks like SmackDown is going back to the heyday of 2002. Hopefully we just have a Paul Heyman style figure who knows what to do with these underused talents.
You'd hope so, wouldn't you? Yeah, there's a lot of great talent on there who's not done enough yet. Like you said, you know, Ricochet's obviously the, you know, one that stands out. Cesaro, another big one right there. Sami Zayn could still, you know, star very, very well. And I think now he's away from Kevin Owens as well, because that pull's always there with those two. You just want to see him continue whatever feud they've got going on. But now they've been separated, I think that's a good thing. And there's obviously one person, well, there's a few that I'm really excited about. I'm a big fan of Hit Row. I think they're great. They connect with the crowd so well. It'd be brilliant to see if they can do what they did on NXT on the main roster, if you will. I think we could call it the main roster now. I never really kind of agreed with that at first, but I think we can now definitely call it the main roster since 2.0s began. And yeah, Hit Row, I think are great. Yeah, I think B-Fab, she's green. Yeah, there's a lot of work still needs to be done there, but I think she's a star in the making. There's something there. And yeah, I love the rest of that whole faction. I think it's great. Top Dollar, I think, is going to be a bit of a breakout from those guys. And you know, Ashanti the Adonis and Swerve Scott are both very, very good. I'm really looking forward to seeing what they do. I think they're going to have some good matches with the Viking Raiders, to be honest. And I'm really excited to see how Ridge Holland gets on.
Yeah, me too. I was a bit disappointed not to see Pete Dunne go with him, but plenty of time for that. You know, 3 weeks for these rosters to take effect.
Yeah.
People making matches for Survivor Series, we still could see Pete Dunne up on one of the rosters. Monday Night selected Big E and Bianca Belair in the first round, Edge and RK-Bro. Edge is an interesting pick. We don't know how long he's going to be around for. We assume there's going to be a blow-off match on SmackDown, or at least Crown Jewel. So the build-up to that will be on SmackDown. So what's he going to do when he gets to Raw? Because we'll talk about it in a minute. Seth Rollins also on Raw. Nikki A.S.H. and Rhea Ripley, the Women's Tag Team Champions, and Keith Lee drafted to Raw. Rey and Dominic Mysterio and Austin Theory drafted to Raw. Becky Lynch and Bobby Lashley drafted to Raw. Seth Rollins and Damian Priest. AJ Styles and Omos. Kevin Owens, Street Profits, Finn Balor, Karrion Kross, Alexa Bliss, Carmella, and Gable Steveson, who was a bit of a shock pick there. I thought he'd show up in NXT. All going to Monday Night Raw. That is a stacked roster. That is 2002 level Raw.
Yeah, there's some great talent on there, isn't there? I think that's a very, very, very stacked roster. And some big hitters at the top of the card. You know, I mean, obviously we go straight to Big E because he's the champ. You know, you look at Edge as well, who I don't think he'll be in there for a title match, but you know, he's there. That's a huge one. Obviously Gable Steveson, you know, he's going to turn up at some point, which would be amazing to see. Kevin Owens, I think, deserves at least a run at the title somewhere down the line. Keith Lee still to properly break out. Damian Priest, I think, is fantastic. Finn Balor, you know, I'm hearing a lot of talk from yeah, from the dirt sheets and beyond, that there were people screaming to get Finn Balor to Raw. They were like, no, we want him. We really want this guy. You know, we can do something with him. So maybe a resurgence of Finn Balor, and, you know, maybe dropping the demon gimmick, hopefully, for a good while would do him good. And just to be what he was in NXT would be great for him. But that is a stacked roster without a doubt. And you look at the ladies as well. Zelina's thrown in there. Bliss, Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair. I mean, that's your top line feud straight away. Tegan Knox floating around. That is a stacked. Oh, Mia Yim, I've just seen pops up on the. I'm looking at the full roster on Instagram right now. That's a stacked roster right there.
Yeah. Mia Yim was part of the supplementary draft, so she apparently was on SmackDown, then wasn't on SmackDown. Now she's on Raw.
Yeah, she's just been out on every show without doing anything.
Yeah, apparently they don't like to separate couples.
Yeah, which is fair.
I think now that she is engaged to Keith Lee, as soon as he went to Raw, I think the writing was on the wall there. We talked about Edge and about how much he could do there.
Mm.
Pardon me. Rey Mysterio, currently not cleared due to an undisclosed medical reason. Do you think he'll just act as a manager just now, or do you think both him and Dominic would be off TV if he's not wrestling for now?
I think that, you know, he'll definitely kind of have that managerial role. He'll be off, you know, he won't be in the ring, but he lends something to Dominic by doing that, you know, and it can kind of further that little storyline that they seem to have started already, where Dominic's getting a bit annoyed at his dad's constant, oh no, yeah, yeah, you're doing this wrong, you're doing it. It's like, leave me alone and let me be the performer that I am. And I think there's a lot more that they're going to do with that. And I don't want it just to, you know, just kind of go down the, oh, one of them's going to turn on each other. And it's obviously going to be Dominic who turned on his dad, because I don't think Rey Mysterio could ever be a heel. Yeah, so you're going to turn Dominic on his dad. But there's something there. And I think, you know, given Rey a bit of a break from being in the ring, which is probably good for him anyway. And if he's, you know, if he's out and he can be there, of course, obviously, if it, you know, it's an undisclosed medical issue. If he can be ringside, then that's great. But you can use him in other ways as well. You know, you could have him, you know, dropping sort of video advice in, you know, like sending him little video clips or a little message or something like on WhatsApp that he gets beforehand. And you can see Dominic, oh, God, he's sending his message again. Yeah, let me just do what I want to do, you know. And there's a lot of good story to tell there.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. We usually end the show with David Campbell's question, but it's draft related, and I want to get your opinion on a few talking points that some of the listeners and some of the group members have said. So he said, simple one this week, folks. Who do you think will benefit the most from when they've been drafted? Who do you think will get lost in the shuffle? So Jack Graham says, really looking forward to see what Hit Row can do on SmackDown. I genuinely believe sky's the limit for them. Unfortunately, Jinder has been hindered. Him and Shanky have gone to SmackDown, but Veer has stayed on Raw. What a shambles. I think if Veer has stayed on Raw, I think that means the other guy from Indushare, I can't remember his name, is cleared to compete. So I think they maybe want to go back to that. And Shanky can be Jinder's heavy. David Hockney says, Drew and Shane are going to SmackDown, is probably what both of them need. A change of scenery and a new chance to break out again. Splitting Tegan and say, which they did in the supplementary draft, is an outrageous decision. They never even got the tag title shot they earned. I worry what they may not do with them as solo stars. Anthony Fitzpatrick said, feel like Shotzi and Tegan will get lost being separated. Strange decision considering the lack of women tag teams. Looking forward to seeing how Gable Steveson does. Callum Bennett said, if I'm honest here, which I am, nobody's... Hold on. Sorry, Callum Bennett says, Hit Row money-making machine. Gary Kernan said, there are few Viking Raiders and Ricochet who could really benefit from a fresh start in SmackDown. I hope Tegan Knox doesn't get lost in the shuffle. I fear Liv Morgan will get lost in the shuffle. She was just getting some momentum on SmackDown. And it feels like every draft KO switches shows this must be the first draft in ages that The Miz hasn't moved brands, which is actually a good point. And Kwaku said, the way things are going, I'm surprised the new brand wasn't made up called Future Endeavored. So we mentioned the supplemental draft. Easy for me to say what I called. They broke up a lot of teams on Monday's Raw Talk draft. They broke up Natalya and Tamina and Tegan and Shotzi. So
you're missing one. You're missing one team.
Who else did they break up?
Mason T-Bar, man.
Oh, no. Yeah, they've done that on Friday.
Mason T-Bar got broken up.
Yeah, I've seen, actually, I've been quite excited with Dominic Dijakovic tweeting, guess I'm alone now, get ready to feast, please. I'm like, yes. But back to the women's division before you blink.
I didn't realise we were just sticking to the women then. I thought we were just talking teams in general. But yes, the women's division that have been split up quite heavily.
You usurp him. He's not well. I'll make him feel worse. I know your game.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, exactly. Shotzi and Tegan and Natalya and Tamina being split up. Weird decision, considering now the only team in the women's tag division is the champions.
And yeah, really there's literally no one else, is there?
No, there is not. It's weird. It's this is why, like, I was really frustrated. Obviously, I get that during the pandemic and the fact that it was different bubbles, they couldn't jump, you know, in between NXT UK and NXT normal. But, I mean, come on. Like, we don't need an NXT women's tag division. And we don't need just a tag division for the main roster. They should be going to different shows. I think it's so frustrating to see the women's tag division continually be a fucking a source of angst for people. And this draft has not helped.
It's such a great idea to have this, the women's tag titles. I think it's a great thing. It's all fine. But they do it such a disservice by doing this all the time. By, finding themselves some champions, having a bunch of people who are going to take them on, and then sort of 6 months down the line, they'll split all the contenders up. And as you said before, Tegan and Shotzi never got their title shot. And now they're not even on the same roster together. That it's like they want you to forget these things. They want you to ignore it. And I don't understand it. And again, I look at like the Raw women's roster there, like they're probably going to start throwing a couple of these together again now. Dana Brooke, who was on TV for the first time in forever the other day, she's still knocking around. Obviously, she had her team with Lana back in the day. Is she going to team up with, you pick one at random. It could be Dana Brooke and Liv Morgan. Yeah, I think Liv Morgan's got a lot to give as a singles wrestler. Same with Tegan Knox. I don't want to see Tegan Knox in the tag team. But there's just such a disservice on those women's tag titles. And where do they go? Like, Nikki Ash and Rhea Ripley could just hold those forever because they've got no opponents. And, when you're creating a tag team, it needs to be something special. I mean, they've had that in the past. They had the Bellas. They had, Bayley and Sasha, because they had what they had. They were the best friends. That's how it worked. And geez, they had the Iconics and ditched them. I just don't get their thinking with it. I think it's something that they want to put some stock into, but then never do and just kind of forget about it because other things happen. And then they want you to kind of just, forget alongside them that these titles exist.
Yeah, no, it's fair enough. It is a source of frustration. You just think all the teams have been broken up, or even the people that they've released who, you didn't have to have Ruby and Liv constantly as a team.
Oh, I forgot about the Riot Squad for a second. Yeah, of course.
When they get back together, it'd be like, oh, by the way, you know, the tag champs are giving me a bit of hassle. Any chance you can help me? All right, cool, yeah. And you don't have to say, by the way, these guys are broken up. It's no, these guys are taking a break from being from chasing the tag titles to chasing individual goals. You know what I mean?
Like, just like what the New Day do. I think that's the blueprint for any kind of group that they've got. You know, these people, they're friends and they go out and do their thing. And if one of them wants to go out and chase some solo success, then great. I mean, in a sense, as we go back in the day and Paul went out for one of my favorite factions of all time, the Undisputed Era were kind of similar to that, whereas they all had their own individual goals and they came together as a collective that worked out that way. You know, there was obviously somebody who was at the top, but when it was time before the turn for Kyle O'Reilly to shine, you know, it happened. And yeah, there's ways and means around it. I think it's just a case of doing it, but it looks like they're going for a very simplistic kind of programming on that front where they just want you to, you know, sort of, which is why, again, they've moved Kofi and Woods to SmackDown, which is just bonkers beyond belief.
I know, and you're not really going to get the Hurt Business New Day feud.
Just left it on the table, haven't they? It's just, that's money right there. There's three feuds you could have. You've got the Hurt Business and the New Day. The New Day and the Bloodline. Put all three of them together anyway. What the hell? There's so much that they've left on the table for just no reason whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely.
Throwing Kit Row as well. What the hell?
I know, it's a wee bit frustrating, but I think one of the reasons they have split a lot of the teams is because there is going to be a singles tournament starting this Friday on SmackDown, continuing Monday on Raw. The King of the Ring is back, and the Queen's Crown Tournament, which I actually don't mind, because I think, you know, King of the Ring, Queen of the Ring, sometimes it gets a bit lazy, and then you need to call it, like, you need to call it King and Queen of the Ring, the pay-per-view, whereas it's going to take place at Crown Jewel. I mean, there's two crowns, the King of the Ring crown and the Queen's crown.
It just makes it, you know, I think it's nice that they've kind of differentiated it and it's a different tournament. You know, they're not attached at the hip. You know, there's not going to be like two thrones where, you know, like a homecoming on a American team movie, you know, where the king and queen are going to be sat next to each other on the throne because they're like the two most popular kids in the school. You know, it's not going to be like that. It's nice to kind of separate it away and not, you know, they've not gone with convention and calling it, you know, the Queen of the Ring. It's, you know, it's a good name, it's a good solid name, and you know, this is the jump off point for one talent. Yeah, you know, one talent can really go far with this if they run it right.
Well, I'll ask you two questions, because obviously we moaned a bit about the women's division and the New Day being split up, but who do you think is going to benefit most from a move in the draft? And then who are your picks for King and Queen of the Ring, or for the crowns? Who are your picks for the crowns?
So benefiting most from the moves, oh, let's have a look. I'd like to say, you know, when you look at Raw, Finn Balor's going to benefit, I think, just to kind of get him away from banging on glass ceilings on SmackDown. And there's a longer term story to tell there. They've got a real feeling for rushing things. And I really wish that they wouldn't with Finn, because he's over with the crowd. He does so much, you know, inclusively with the LGBT audience as well. He's got such a mass appeal. I think he can be like an ultra top star. So I think Finn would benefit from going to Raw without a doubt. And as I look at SmackDown again, I think Drew's going to benefit just because he's got something different to do. But I'm such a big fan of Hit Row. I think they're going to be a huge breakout. So I think they're going to be the ones that are going to be the ones to break out from that. As for my picks for the King of the Ring and the Queen's Crown, this is actually kind of hard. I mean, I want Cesaro to win it. because I think he deserves it. But then what happens to King Nakamura? Does he just become Shinsuke Nakamura again? That's the big question there. And the Queen of the Ring, I think, is going to be Shayna Baszler. Or the Queen's Crown winner. And she's going to smash it.
Yeah,
She's going to win it and go like, yeah, whatever.
Do you remember, I know people were annoyed about this, but it made sense, I think. Do you remember Sonny Kiss replaced someone in the, I think it was the tournament that Kenny Omega won for the number one contendership, yeah, in AEW.
Yep.
And beat him in like 10 seconds. He just battered him with a knee, hit him with a one winning angel, and that was it. And people, yep, were really annoyed. It's like, well, Sonny, we're telling the story that no one on the main, not main roster on Dynamite, but you know what I mean? No, yep, one on the main shows of AEW is on the roster, is on the level of Kenny Omega. So why would a dark regular, you know, be any different? I want to see Shayna Baszler have, like, say it's a 16-person tournament. I want to see four matches like that. I want to see her beat the living you-know-what out of every single competitor.
Yeah, because I think they're trying to build it like this, aren't they? Trying to build it to be like an absolute killer again. Which, this is the Shayna Baszler that we've been looking for a long, long time. But I even thought, like, on Raw on Monday, it was Dana Brooke, wasn't it? I think she was fighting on Monday, off the top of my head. Her opponent got too much offense in on Shayna. Shayna should have absolutely destroyed her. I want to see those Asuka-like squashes. When Asuka moved to Raw after the NXT run, I want to see those where she just comes in, absolutely dominates, and walks out.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I agree with the Queen's Crown pick. I think Shayna Baszler, like I said, I want to see four rounds of absolute dominance. Just
Queen's Fate, isn't it? Almost
I want to see... Exactly. I want to see four referee stoppages.
Yeah, that'd be good. And
as for King of the Ring, you know what? I think he's currently, you know, he's got the victim mentality. He was picked last on TV. I want to see King Sami Zayn.
Yeah, that'll be a sort of paranoid King in a Game of Thrones style. Yeah.
Proper full-on Joffrey run from Sami Zayn, I think, could be amazing. Heading back to the draft, you know what? Person I think that benefits the most, Ricochet. I think he has been lost in the Raw shuffle. 100%. He has been left off the past two WrestleManias. For me, for someone of his quality, that is unacceptable. He was in that stupid makeshift tag team for a while when there was no tag teams with Cedric Alexander. Cedric Alexander's went out and did the Hurt Business and, you know, done better for himself. Ricochet just kind of get battered by Lashley every week. And ironically, he won a match that meant the Hurt Business had to leave him alone. And since then, we've not seen him on TV. So honestly, that was the worst thing ever because he's not been on TV. So,
yeah. He needed a reboot again, I think.
I'm hoping both him and Jeff Hardy are far too popular and far too marketable to not be used on TV.
They are, but here's the thing with Jeff Hardy for me. I don't know whether you're going to agree with me. What's he got left to do?
No, he's not got a lot left to do, but
There's nothing for him to do, so you can't shove him right to the top of the card. He's got to be in that position now where I think he's putting people over, like he tried to put Austin Theory over on Raw. Yeah, that whole thing there. I think that's his role now. He'll win things, but I don't want to see him anywhere near a title.
No. I'm fully happy with him being like, you know, participant number six, first eliminated from the chamber.
Yeah.
Participant number eight, but isn't going to win Money in the Bank. I'm fine with that. And I'm fine with him being like a 2013 onwards Jericho where he puts over the young talent. But he's still on TV and he still has a presence and he's still...
Oh, he's still so popular and, you know, he's way over. Like I said, I just don't want to see him anywhere near the top end of the card.
That's fair enough. That is absolutely fair enough. But yeah, Jeff Hardy and Ricochet for me are the ones that benefit from the move. Just having a wee look here to be six.
While you're looking at that, I'll tell you who I slightly fear for, but I also think that maybe this contract situation is remotely true. I do kind of fear for Kevin Owens a bit.
Yeah, that is the problem with a lot of people going to Raw. Him and The Miz, when he got drafted on the supplemental draft, those were the two that worried me, because Miz is obviously off TV with the minute at Dancing with the Stars. Miz and Morrison broken up, by the way. John Morrison,
yeah.
SmackDown.
Yeah.
I know they broke up a few weeks ago, but still. Miz and Kevin Owens are my two worrying people.
Yeah, the thing with KO is it's just making sure that you give him something that he can get his teeth stuck into. He's super over. The pops he gets are unbelievable. He deserves another run at the top. But there's so many people who deserve this now. And this is where, again, yeah, the writers and the creative team, this is where they're earning the money now, because they've got a 3-hour show to write all these people into, and they've got to make sure that these talents are rotating around well enough to keep everybody entertained and make sure that nobody gets, you know, kind of just stuck waiting and in a holding pattern before then they're unleashed again and then rotate you back out. Yeah. Again, I think the top end of AEW is very similar, you know, when you get a lot of the great talent like that, but this is where creative are starting to earn the money.
Couple of small stories here before we get into the bigger stories. Ariana Andrew, also known as Cameron of the Funkadactyls, told Wrestling Inc. she contacted Vince McMahon personally about returning to the company, but it's unclear if it's going to happen. I think I can safely say I don't care if it happens.
Can you imagine just for a second that, you know, you pick up your phone and you just sort of scroll through, and this is what you just think of, because obviously, like, it, you know, if like me, you're freelance and that, and you speak to a few people every now and again, and you look at, you know, some various people that you text, and you scroll down and go, should I just text Vince McMahon? You know, it's like Monday afternoon, 3 o'clock, whatever, and you say, I'm going to text Vince McMahon. How do you start that text? Hey, Vince, how you doing? Long time no speak. Lol.
Happening, bro, coming out for the weekend.
Yeah. What are you up to? Do you want to do some shots? Yeah. It's like, no, I'm in the gym, damn it. But like, how do you even think about, or even like picking up the phone? You know, you get really nervous about ringing certain people. You go down your phone and I'm going to ring Vince McMahon, and then you cut it off instantly because like you're about to ring Vince McMahon and you know he's never going to answer the phone.
I picture, do you know how that feeling you get? Like, see when you're genuinely unwell on a weekend day, but you work somewhere, retail or somewhere where people are like, I heard that you were out last night, weren't you? It was Friday night last night. Were you?
Yeah, you're on the lash, yeah.
So I'm genuinely unwell. I think the feeling of phoning Vince McMahon is like when you try to phone your work to tell them you're sick on a weekend day. I think that's they're the exact same feeling. Who is clamoring for a Cameron return?
I have no idea, but you know, to have the guts to like get in touch directly, not even through, you know, anybody else, to get in touch with Vince McMahon, I say give her a short contract. What the hell?
Say do not. Quiet, John Logan. Oh, Jesus Christ. That is one that has tickled me, I think. There's one a bit closer to home and a bit more interesting. Per TalkSport, WWE planning to hold SummerSlam 2022 in the Cardiff's Principality Stadium, also known as the Millennium Stadium. It'd be great to see WWE back in a stadium show in the UK.
Very much. Of course, next year will be the 30th anniversary of SummerSlam 92 at Wembley Stadium. So there's obviously a historical significance with holding an event in the UK of that scale. Now, Alex McCarthy, who broke the story on TalkSport, is a guy I know very well. He's a good dude. Shout out to Alex. And there's been a lot of talk about a pay-per-view in the UK. I did think that maybe like Wales is a bit of a left-field one for whatever reason, because normally you just expect it. I think this is just a stereotypical thing that they just shoot straight for London. Yeah, that would just be like the instant, oh, we're just going to try and get Wembley or, you know, Tottenham Hotspur Stadium or something like that. They're just going to shoot straight for, a place in London, because that's the kind of UK thing that is seen. But going to Wales is very interesting. Now, obviously, they were meant to host a show in Ireland, weren't they? They were meant to take over in Ireland before, obviously, that got cancelled because of COVID. So their sort of look of going around the UK for doing shows is growing. I would love to see it. Do I think it'll happen? 50-50. I don't know. I really don't know, because it's. I think they're going to go down this path where they are going to do a lot of the big events like that on a Saturday. And that looks like a pattern that they're going to start following soon. If they can do that on a Saturday and they can get the timing right, it could happen at Saturday afternoon in America, which wouldn't be too bad for them. So their audience in the States wouldn't moan so much.
Wait till 1 a.m.
Oh yeah, totally. Oh, yeah, we've got to wait till 1 a.m. But yeah, like the bulk of their audience, their massive audience that they see week on week are in America, aren't they? America and Canada. So yeah, they're going to look after those times. You know, it's. Yeah. I think like if they are going for this Saturday thing, they're going to do that time where they could do it on a Saturday afternoon in America, and it'd just work out very, very nice. So I'm 50-50 on it. You know, I think the plan would be there. And I think let's face it, the conversation is probably going to have been had. Will it happen? I don't know. Yeah.
Do you know where I think we're going? And I know it's because they're called the Hammers and Triple H uses a sledgehammer. But see all the publicity that Triple H has done for West Ham over the years.
Yeah.
And, you know, this publicity only really happened when they announced, oh, by the way, we're leaving Upton Park and we're going to the Olympic Stadium.
Mm.
And the Olympic Stadium just so happens to host, like, is it like 80,000 fans or something like that?
I think it all depends on the way that you can set it up. I mean, I'm looking at the sort of capacity of it now. Regulated capacity of it is 60,000. It's 66,000 seated, but 80,000 for concerts. So, depending on how it would be set up,
We'll meet in the middle.
We'll meet in the middle. It's probably going to be a 70,000. I mean, what was Wembley back in the day? Wembley was around about 80,000. So,
seeing people, according to WWE.
Yeah, it's. Yeah, I mean, that's another one that they could look at. I'm sure they got a good relationship with West Ham, obviously, with what Triple H has done there. You know, I mean, that'd be an interesting one. I mean, obviously, Tottenham Hotspur was used, wasn't it, for Anthony Joshua's fight recently? So that's another one that they could look at, because obviously that gets used for so many things now. I mean, again, they use that for the NFL, of course, for the games that the global games, and they had 60,000 for NFL. But obviously, you're using the entire pitch there, aren't you? So, you know, you can add the seating around on the pitch for ringside. So that's probably going to knock it up to probably about 70 again, at a guess. So you know, they've got options across the country.
I am surprised since since I believe 2008 or 2000, maybe it was a bit before that when the Emirates opened.
Yeah.
But since 2008, the Emirates, the London Stadium, Tottenham Hotspur's new stadium, and Wembley reopened. So, you know, you've had four you've got four purpose-built stadiums for the modern era. So that makes me even more surprised they haven't went to London, because I know you can say, oh, well, you know, Fulham's there, but that's AEW territory, and, you know.
Yeah, that's so good to run a show, that scene.
Stamford Bridge only holds 40,000, and, you know, Selhurst Park and Charlton Stadium, the Valley, you know, they don't hold big enough places, but...
I mean, Anfield's getting expanded, not that I want to, you know, throw that in the mix, but...
I'd put Hampden in the mix, but Hampden's a dump. Hampden isn't. Honestly, it's our home ground. I will support Scotland when they play there, but the stadium is a shithole for concerts, for atmosphere, for anything. Honestly, absolute shithole. But if WWE want to do a pay-per-view there, then I will rescind all that and tell you. Absolutely wonderful stadium, honestly. Modern as anything. So, from future WWE events to past WWE superstars, Fightful claimed WWE one of the pitches to Adam Cole involved cutting his hair short and having a new look on the main roster. Sort of, if anyone can picture, do you remember when Dolph Ziggler was quote-unquote fired from SmackDown?
Yep.
And then he showed up and they'd, you know, made him undye his hair and they'd cut it short back and sides. And then 2 weeks later, it was blonde again and he just grew his hair out again. Pointless. But yeah, that's sort of the idea they had, a short back and sides for Adam Cole. I don't get that. Like, what would be the point in that?
Just chuck him in a suit and tie while you're at it. You know, who's this guy? Oh, he's the bloke from The Office. That's Adam Cole's new gimmick. Nah, it just wouldn't work. I mean, like, the Adam Cole's look is part of his gimmick. It fits him, and it just wouldn't work. I mean, like, you know, the Panama City Playboy looking like he's just walked out of, you know, doing a 9-to-5 with a, you know, not even in a corner office, as they would say in the States. Yeah, it just wouldn't work. And if that was, hey, that's just one of the pitches I'm sure was there. I'm sure that was just one of them, but that was probably one where he thought, better get on the phone to Cody, you know, because this is not good.
From one former WWE superstar to another, Braun Strowman, apparently Impact and AEW both making big plays for Braun Strowman. Just me personally, but I think he should go to Impact. I think they put the belt on him in Impact. He can rule that company for a long time.
Yeah, he'll be the big star in Impact if you throw him in there. I think in AEW, he comes in as an Impact player. No kind of, you know, funny joke there or anything. But he comes in as a, you know, a sort of big hitter, like, oh, wow. And then he, you know, he doesn't get close to going anywhere near Omega, Danielson, or anyone else. But you put him in Impact and he's a cornerstone of your entire brand. And he's a huge name superstar to bring in. You know, with a lot of fans, he's got a good rep. You know, he's built himself up well. He stands out a million miles. Yeah, he should go to Impact. I could understand the appeal of him going to AEW, but I think Impact would be a boost for his career. And then, you know, the forbidden door's open, isn't it? As they say, you know, if he wants to make that venture to AEW, you know, the door's there. He could walk through it.
I think if he goes to AEW, I think he gets the Brian Cage treatment.
Yeah.
And this isn't a WWE versus AEW thing, because obviously it's Impact versus AEW here, but I've seen a lot of people really unhappy that I believe it was his wife. I don't know if she's a wrestler in her own right. But his wife was saying, I know how talented he is. His fans know what he can do. So in our eyes, he's being underutilized. And then you had, like, you know, people with a Twitter handle, AEW lover 114. if your guy was in WWE, he'd be getting booked worse. So just shut up and enjoy yourself. And you're like, fucking hell, calm down. People are allowed to not be happy with AEW. Like,
yeah, you're allowed to criticize it. And you know what? Even though they're on an absolute flyer right now, they're doing some fantastic stuff and there's some brilliant matches. But my word, you know, they've dropped some clangers. And it's all right to call them out. It's fine. Because, hey, guess what? WWE does the same thing.
No, it doesn't, damn it.
Everything we do is great.
Good shit all round. Well, from one McMahon to another, Shane McMahon, I spoke about this last week with Adam. Apparently, Shane McMahon is no longer involved in any WWE creative decisions, and apparently he is still under an in-ring contract, but he's no longer seen around the WWE offices. What do you make of that?
I'm about to say, he'll be back for WrestleMania, so. fair. I mean, I know he's got some other business interests and other things that he does. And, you know, he did take that very long period away from the company to do his own thing. And, yeah, fair play to him. I think he can, you know, he can go off and do his thing. He doesn't need to be attached to the company. I think it's not as much in his blood anymore as it used to be, I think. I think he's seen, like, that there's these other opportunities that he can take in with Passion Zone. He's a massive sneakerhead. I think he's got something that he does along with sneakers and footwear. He's got all these other passions that he can explore, and he doesn't have to be kind of attached to the family company. Whereas, like, you know, I think Steph is completely engrossed in it, and she's rightfully well and truly in there. But I think Shane, you know, do his thing, but he'll be back for WrestleMania or something stupid like that. He'll be jumping off something really huge soon enough.
They had a pirate ship last year and they didn't jump off that, and quite frankly it was outrageous.
Yep, Kevin Owens wanted to and he didn't do it. You know, it's unbelievable.
Moving across to New Japan quickly, we won't go too much into this because Scott and Grant have their bi-weekly East Meets West, and obviously they're covering the G1 at the minute. Just to let you know the current standings in A Block, Zack Sabre Jr., Great Okan, Kenta and Kota Ibushi are on 8 points. Toru Yano is on 6 points. Shingo is on 6 points. Tomohiro Ishii 6 points. Takahashi 4 points. Tangaloa 4 points. And Naito withdrew from the competition and is on 0 points. In the B block, Jeff Cobb and Okada joined top with 10 points. Evil with 8 points. I'm not shouting, David Campbell. My throat's in bits. Tanahashi on 6 points, Sanada on 4 points, Taichi on 4 points, Yoshihashi on 2 points, Tama Tonga on 2 points, Chase Owens on 2 points, and Goto on 2 points. So, I mean, I feel like I'm on match of the day here. I mean, the European places are still up for grabs, but it looks like we've got front runners for the title in both blocks.
Yeah, somebody could get in the Champions League places there. I'll tell you, I've seen a few. I've not had a chance to watch much of it yet, but I've seen a lot of highlights on social. And look, if you're down for your catch wrestling and you know, some hard hitting stuff at times, and if like me, you love, you know, seeing how people get in and out of holds in reversals and stuff like that, just watch some of this, because there's some absolutely beautiful transitions that some of these guys are doing, and there's some incredible smooth wrestling in the bits that I've seen.
Fair enough. And if you want to hear more in-depth analysis and more reviews, then East Meets West is our home on Eat Sleep Suplex Retweet of all things Japanese wrestling, hosted by Scott and Grant. We'll move over to AEW for a wee minute. A few stories there. Kira Hogan, who apparently, according to some sources, had signed with AEW full-time, is apparently not on a full-time deal. According to Dave Meltzer, unless it's posted on social media as someone being All Elite, then they are not on a full-time deal. They're on a per appearance deal with the company. What do you make of that? Obviously, the AEW women's division is going from strength to strength, and Kira Hogan is a big-time player, a fan favourite. Do you think... Impact. Do you think AEW should be making a play to make her a full-time talent?
Well, maybe there's someone like that who, you know, you could bring in properly down the line. Because if you look at, as you say, you know, the talent they've got there right now, and it is getting a lot better, and the women's division is really on a flyer at the minute, with the likes of Ruby Soho turning up and really turning things up a notch. Britt Baker's still got so much to give. I know she's not done much, but I think Anna Jay's coming on leaps and bounds. There's some good talent in there. Maybe this is the thing where you could go, well, okay, well, look, you know, we want to use you, and, you know, we want to use you, but I think you're going to be a star in the future. If we put you in now, you're just going to get lost in the mix, which, again, it's kind of like, you know, Thunder Rosa's had a couple of, like, really good standout matches, but I know she's got a lot more to give. So I think maybe with, like, Kiera Hogan, as you said, big fan favorite, it works out nicely. They could bring her in properly later down the line, but give her that airtime now and say, look, you know, we think you're really good and things are going to turn out well. Just stick with us and keep coming back. And if they give you that taste and then give you a full-time contract down the line, yeah, she's going to be happy, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I think... I've only seen some of her work in Impact, so I couldn't go into too much detail, but I think she's got an interesting look, really athletic wrestler, and yeah, I think if you get the chance to get her on your roster, I think you take that chance, and I think maybe WWE and Impact, if they know that she's not in a full-time contract, maybe they make a play, try to get her from under the noses.
They could try and make a play for it, but if she's somewhere and happy... And, you know, she's been given a promise of something down the line, which, you know, she can hold these people to. Then, you know, I think you stay where you're happy.
Yeah. From one AEW story to another, sources told Cassidy Hayes of Bodyslam.net that Cody Rhodes apparently doesn't really have much of a relationship anymore with Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks. I'm not surprised there. I think... I'm sure the guys are friends, but I said it for the beginning that I thought Cody Rhodes attached himself to whatever was hip and cool at the time, which was the Bullet Club, attached himself to the Elite, attached himself to, the, you know, he used them to get people in the door for, you know, All In. And now that they've got the company together and the company's up and running, they don't really have to have much of a relationship, and I'm not surprised that Cody's back doing his own thing.
Yeah, I think it's fine for him to do that, and yeah, I'm, like I said, I'm sure they're not like, yeah, not talking to each other backstage or anything like that. You know, there's no animosity in this whole thing, but yeah, it is what it is. It's cool, and yeah, from what I've heard, that Tony Khan's taking a lot of the booking responsibility now. He's the guy who's kind of like holding court at the top. So, you know, those guys are in their executive vice president roles or whatever it is that they've got. And I know Kenny Omega's very heavily attached to the gaming side of it with AEW Games. So he's got his speciality. And in that case, he doesn't need to be involved with, you know, the booking or, you know, bringing talent in or anything like that. And you know, they've been bringing the likes of Paul White and Mark Henry in to look at talent and get them through the door, you know, to take that weight off. So, yeah, I'm sure that, you know, they've not had some giant falling out and they all hate each other. But
no, actually, yeah. Sure. We're going to start a gossip. All right,
start the rumor. Yeah, I'm sure that they're all absolutely fine. It's just that I think the roles have now changed, and you'll get a lot of those kind of like EVP roles in companies that are just tiles more than actual roles.
You're not listening, John. Cody punched Nick. Matt went to defend his brother.
Matt Jackson threw one of his expensive trainers at him.
Kenny Omega then tried to knee Cody Rhodes. He ducked again. The coward that he is. They hit Brandi Rhodes. Brandi Rhodes hit four people. Took six people to take her down. She was mental. Honestly, this is all from a... It's all from a well-placed source, guys.
Sounds like a kicked off there.
We'll jump into the AEW Dynamite 2-year anniversary in a minute, which is at time of recording tonight. by the time the show's released, it will have aired. Let us know how it was. Tessa Blanchard, according to Fightful Select, confirmed for the relaunch of the Women of Wrestling promotion. Not seen much of Tessa Blanchard during the pandemic. Held up the Impact title. Was stripped of the title just as she was getting going. A lot of allegations about Tessa's past and past behaviour towards certain wrestlers. But she still is a history-making draw, and Women of Wrestling have apparently decided to bring her in.
She's on the website. I had a look at it before, and she, you know, she's featured on their website. So I'm going to guess that that's a, you know, an indication that, you know, that she's there. She's second on the site, just below the Women's Wrestling World Champion. So I'm gonna guess that she's in. Yeah, you know, that the rumors are true, because even though there's nothing on their social media, you know, she's heavily featured upon their website. So I'm gonna guess that it is accurate. Yeah, I mean, obviously we've seen everything that happened, and you know, all the sort of allegations, the rumors. You know, they put her over big in Impact, and yeah, she was a really interesting story there. Has everything soured it? Probably. Yeah, I mean, this is one that's not like massively on my radar of any form of excitement whatsoever.
Nah, I'm just actually looking at the roster just now. It's very much like, oh, there's Kaylee Burchill. She's going under the Temptress. I think one of them, maybe. No, it's not Melina. But yeah, it's sort of like Glow. Looking at this, some of the characters.
It does look a little bit like that. There's Santana Garrett there, of course, ex of NXT. It does look a little Glow, doesn't it?
It's actually interested me a bit more now, actually, now that it's Jessica Havoc, well known to UK fans. Sorry, this is actually quite cool. Some of the characters here. Guys, go on to womenofwrestling.com. They call their wrestlers, instead of superstars, they call their superheroes. And some of the characters here are quite cool, actually. I'm actually going to watch this. This is quite interesting to me.
the disciplinarian, that's the authoritarian school teacher right there, with the paddle, the sassy massy. It is very Glow, isn't it? The Dixie Darlings, and then of course there's Teal Piper, Roddy Piper's daughter.
Yeah, there is. It is quite. Adriana Gambino, hailing from New Jersey, New York, no, they're different states, values loyalty above everything else. That's a mafia character. That's basically the character we saw debut in NXT last night.
Yeah, I absolutely love the fact that he tried to bribe the ref straight off the bat. That was brilliant. Complete side note from what we were talking about, but he tried to bribe the ref, and that was just incredible. Tony D'Angelo, legend already.
I've tried to remember his name there for a minute. Well, it certainly looks an interesting promotion. It certainly is a very character.
It's one I've not heard of before. So, like, I mean, it's obviously, like, you know, got a fairly big reputation, but I've actually never heard it before. And if you do get a chance to see this, Jimmy Hart was involved in this back in the day. Wrestlelicious. If you want anything that's like Glow, just look at that on YouTube.
So yeah, Women of Wrestling featuring Tessa Blanchard, a really interesting promotion, basically focusing a lot on the character aspects. If you like Glow, I've got a feeling you might like this. This might be right up David Campbell Street.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It's interesting. From Women in Wrestling to Dynamite. Dynamite's 2-year anniversary. See, because this launched like near the end, obviously, October 2019 was when Dynamite launched. And obviously in 2020, the world went to shit. 2021, we're getting back to a bit of normality. But because wrestling feels so insignificant in the, you know, in everyday life that we've had to deal with in the past 2 years, it feels like those 2 years have just absolutely flown in.
Yeah, they've disappeared, haven't they? It's been unbelievable. It's been so quick. And, you know, congratulations to AEW on 2 years of being on TV and you know, putting some good stuff out there and doing what they did, you know, at Daily's Place during the pandemic. They've gone through a fair bit, and you know, now as they're entering the second year, they're hitting it pretty hard.
Yeah, absolutely. A big card for tonight's Dynamite anniversary special. You've got the Elite, Adam Cole, Kenny Omega, and the Young Bucks, with Don Callis taking on Brian Danielson, Jungle Boy, Luchasaurus, and Christian Cage. Hikaru Shida versus Serena Deeb, that'll be an absolute cracker. Sammy Guevara, the new TNT champion, taking on Bobby Fish, walking through the Forbidden Door in his first title defense. And the Casino Ladder Match, winner receives a world title match. Pac, Andrade, Orange Cassidy, John Moxley, Matt Hardy, Lance Archer, and the Joker. I'll ask you straight off the bat, who do you think the Joker's going to be?
Oh, I don't. I kind of don't want it to be somebody, you know, that they're bringing in from WWE or whatever, you know, or a free agent. I know this is a name that's been bandied around, and I actually quite agree with it. Hangman Page.
Yes. Yeah.
I like to see Hangman Page in there because obviously he was meant to get that title shot. He disappeared. Obviously, his wife, I believe, gave birth. He's been off TV for a bit. And this is, you know, comeback season part two, isn't it? For Hangman.
Exactly.
I think that'd be a good one for him. But yeah, yeah. Obviously, you know, the obvious answer that people go is, oh, it's going to be Bray Wyatt, isn't it?
I am going to go, because eventually I'm going to be right. Whenever we do a sweep or predictions or whatever for a mystery partner, a mystery opponent, a mystery entrant or whatever in a match, a mystery bodyguard, who's going to be the special guest referee, I always guess James Storm.
Yeah, why not?
I've done it since 2018 and I'm going to keep bloody doing it. I'm going to say James Storm, and one of these days, when it's the 800th time I've guessed it, it will be James Storm, and I'll get to be smug that day.
Yeah, one day it'll happen. Somewhere.
One day at a time, guys. One day at a time. What do you make of the rest of the card?
It's good. Guevara and Fish, I'm looking forward to, because that'll be a really good sort of clash of styles in a way. You know, very technical, hard-hitting stuff from Bobby Fish, and, you know, Guevara will be doing what he does, and he can fly around a little bit. Obviously, you know, they're not going to take the title off Sammy now. But I remember Bobby's debut on NXT, and he lost that as well. So, you know, I don't think Bobby loses anything by losing. So I think that's pretty cool. The Elite and Danielson and Jurassic Express and Christian Cage, I think the Elite will take that, actually. Yeah, this is going to be the one where they're going to get their one win in this probable feud. But again, it's going to be a cracker, and yeah, there's some good matchups in there. I want to see Brian and Brian Anderson and Adam Cole go at it. I think that'll be good. I think you'll see a lot of Kenny Omega trying to stay away from Brian Danielson in this, and that'll be interesting to watch. Hikaru Shida and Serena Deeb, as you said before, that's just going to be an absolute cracker. Two standout female talents who are going to just go at it, and I think that'll be a great match.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking forward to the Elite. I actually think Brian pins Omega in this. I think Omega spends the match getting away from Danielson, and he ends up taking the pin. And that's the, right, you've never beat me, but I pinned you. Like,
yeah.
Starts to get under the champion's skin leading up to the eventual rematch they will have for the world title. Casino ladder match, I don't want to see Orange Cassidy win it because I think I like Orange Cassidy. I don't mind seeing him in title matches occasionally, but I think it's a waste having him win this because I don't think they're ever going to put the world title on him. And to be honest, I don't really think they should. I find him an entertaining character. He's not a world champion.
But he's got a place. He's got a place and it isn't in the world title picture. Whereas he's fine to have that one-off match every now and again, you know, where everyone can kind of get behind him. He doesn't lose anything. You know, again, he's not, you know, ever, you know, no matter how talented he is, he's not a world champion. And yeah, there's no reason for him to win this.
No, no, absolutely. I agree with you. Looking at this list of people, Pac, we've seen Pac and Omega before. Some great matches. Andrade, we saw that in Mexico, but it was a bit of an overbooked mess. Mm-hmm. John Moxley, we've seen multiple times. Matt Hardy, much like Orange Cassidy. Matt Hardy, I think, could have been a world champion. He has been a world champion in Impact and ECW, but he's not going to be AEW world champion anytime soon. And Lance Archer, I don't think he would win it. So I think, yeah, the Joker is the best one to win it. And I'm with you. I think it should be Adam Page.
Yeah, I think that's just, for me, the most sensible option. Obviously, you know, you get someone in on your second anniversary, for a big pop. But, yeah, you don't want somebody just walking in from WWE or NXT or wherever, and instantly kind of taking over. I don't think that's, you know, necessary. You know, you could argue that's kind of what Bryan Danielson and Adam Cole have done, but I don't think you need somebody to come in and do this when you've got established talent there who, you know, you want to put over. Anybody who's coming in now, you know, neither of those, you know, Cole or Danielson or whoever, they're not fighting for a title in an instant. You know, they're not doing it instantly. They've got to build themselves up in that audience and reestablish themselves, which is what any new talent should do. But when you've got someone like, you know, Hangman Page, who's not had his opportunity yet for the world title, you know, he's not had that match that he's been building towards because he had to go away. He's the kind of person who goes in there and goes, right, I need to take this back now. I need to seize control of my destiny and run with it from there.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we move on to just a quick preview of the four Crown Jewel matches that were announced this week, on his own podcast, Kurt Angle said, in his opinion, the only person that was better in the ring than Shawn Michaels and himself was Chris Benoit. Chris Benoit, obviously controversial figure, rightfully so. As mentioned by WWE, again, can understand why, but do you agree with him that Chris Benoit, if there was a better person than Shawn Michaels and Kurt Angle, it was Chris Benoit?
An incredible talent. Obviously, very disturbed in the end. A great talent. I mean, for me, I'd put Shawn Michaels right near the top, if not the top. Kurt Angle was... yeah, was up there too. You'd have to argue that he'd be up there. I mean, you know, being the best, I don't know, but I think you'd have to argue that he'd be up there. You know, you still got even despite his recent controversies, you know, Ric Flair still stood out for every reason. Yeah, there's a lot, and for me, you know, growing up watching him, I thought Bret Hart was a genius. So, yeah. You know, for me, yeah, I enjoyed watching him in the ring. Obviously, you know, what he did, I've got, you know, absolute contempt for. You know, that was awful. But yeah, it's a difficult one to kind of talk about, isn't it? Or think about, because it's. Yeah, you have that history there, but yeah, and you look at his body of work and you know how good it was.
Yeah. I think he is talking about people he was in ring with, Kurt Angle. So
I
don't think you can say
they had some classics.
You know, I don't think you can say no. He wasn't, you know, one of the best. I think a complicated issue for some people is separating the wrestler from the man.
That's the issue, and I
get it's not easy for some people, but separating the man from the body of work, he had a great body of work and was a great in-ring talent and did pride himself on being one of, if not the best. So I think every so often when people mention Benoit, I think that the tricky thing is, you know, he was a friend to people that he worked with. So people still have that memory, and then obviously he did what he did and they were
shocked
as well.
Talking about him, don't you? It's hard, I think. Yeah, when obviously neither of us knew him. And all we can do is talk about what we saw on the television, or, you know, maybe live if we got to see him live. But it's hard, and like I said, I see where Angle's coming from, because I think, yeah, when they had some great matches together, but I get where he's coming from.
Yeah, I think, like I said, we didn't know them, so we can separate the man from, we can say, right, we hated him, but he was a good wrestler, whereas it is complicated for people who did know him, you know what I mean? But anyway, we'll move on. Some less controversial things, like a Saudi Arabia WWE pay-per-view. How about that?
Because that's never controversial.
Not at all. Weirdly enough, four matches announced, and four matches that look like absolute belters. A triple threat match for the SmackDown Women's Championship, Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks. Sorry, Becky Lynch and Bianca Belair, both on Raw now, against Sasha Banks. RK-Bro against AJ Styles and Omos. Drew McIntyre versus Big E, Goldberg and Bobby Lashley in a no-holds-barred match, and after breaking into Edge's home this past week, you've got to think that Seth Rollins' Edge is going to be added to the card sooner rather than later.
He drank orange juice straight out of the bottle, man. I mean, ultimate disrespect in somebody else's home.
I know, disgusting behaviour, despicable behaviour.
Four good matches there, and yeah, like I said, there's the probability of Edge and Rollins being added is there. This is the strange one, because you can see the possible request coming in, because it's Brock of going just whack a title on him, but I don't think they will. I think there'll be a screwy finish. It'll be a total and Roman will walk away with the title, because I think if they're gonna change it, they're gonna change this one at Survivor Series or Rumble or something like that.
Well, last time these two fought in Saudi Arabia, it was the screw finish where they speared each other through the door.
Oh yeah, of course, yeah. Yeah.
they do have a history for it.
I just can't see a switch here, because I think, you know, Roman's still got to be very strong. And there's the whole Paul Heyman thing, which I don't think you can, you know, wrap up now. There's too much more to tell there. So I think even, you know, despite possible, you know, political pull of having that switch in Saudi, I don't think they're going to do it. I think Roman will walk away with the title, but it will be a complete screw job finish, and you know, the Bloodline will be involved, and Heyman, and it'll all go off. And yeah, I think you'll see at the end of it Heyman getting F5'd.
Yeah, I think that'll be the send the fans home happy. I see that's a DQ finish in favour of Brock.
Yeah, totally. He'll win the match, but he won't take the title back, and that'll, you know, that change may happen come Survivor Series, depending on what they're gonna do with, you know, with WrestleMania, and if they've got anything sorted for that main event. Brock's kind of give himself a little out by saying, I'm a free agent now, I can do what I want, I can go where I like. You know, he could strut his way onto Monday Night Raw and go straight for Big E. So there's many paths you can go down with that, and a nice little escape for Brock.
RK-Bro versus AJ and Omos. I thought it was quite a fun opener to SummerSlam. I look forward to it again. But with some of the teams that have been drafted to Raw, Street Profits stand out amongst those names. I'm looking forward to seeing maybe Street Profits versus RK-Bro. And I don't know what happens to AJ and Omos after this. Does Omos just go back to being AJ's heavy? Or do they pull the trigger far too soon and send Omos out on his own?
I think Omos has still got a little bit to learn. And, you know, having him attached with AJ is actually quite a good thing. I wouldn't mind. I know AJ's kind of gone on social media and he said, like, you know, there's lots of people I don't like on Monday nights, but you're all right with Finn Balor. Yeah, and he's they shared a little picture of the two of them. I want to see a Finn Balor AJ Styles match again, the one that they had on pay per view when it was the Demon and AJ flew in. Obviously, when there was a load of people sick at the time, he was meant to fight Bray Wyatt. I can't remember exactly what pay per view it was now, but I watched it the other day. That was a hell of a match. And, you know, I'd love to see that again. So, you know, and there's so much history between the two of them. And obviously with Omos being there in the corner, you know, he's a great heater because he's just such an imposing figure. I think even just giving him that break out of the ring might do him a little bit of good as well, you know, because just give him time to kind of still feel his way around. Mark Henry, I know, is very sold on him. And, you know, Mark Henry was saying that when he was at the PC, you know, Omos has got it. You know, and he was saying he'll succeed. He'll do well. I mean, I can see RK-Bro retaining. Yeah, they've still got so much to offer. And like you said, put them and the Street Profits together, we'll have some of that.
I know people will hate me for suggesting this title, but I want to see AJ having a breakdown after they lose at Crown Jewel. I want to see him having a breakdown and saying, I should be a champion, I should be a champion. And then Big Ol' Moss just choke-slamming, like grabbing Reggie, who just happens to be walking by, choke-slamming him, and then AJ pins him for the 24/7 title.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
The 24/7 title, I'm sorry, it was a fun idea at the start. It's dead now. It's not taking off the way WWE wanted it to. It's nothing compared to the hardcore title. If AJ Styles had, you know, because there's a lot of interesting people to work with on Raw.
Yeah.
What if AJ did an open challenge every week for the 24/7 title? And while he's walking about backstage, well, it doesn't hurt. That when everyone's gunning for you, you have a 7'3", 400-pound behemoth watching your back.
Very true. It doesn't. Yeah, exactly. He's never going to lose, is he? Yeah. I mean, I'm just looking through again now on WWE social because, like, you know, you can tell the things that they look at, obviously, on their social media when it comes to. Yeah, the views and some of the most popular stuff on TikTok has been Reggie.
Really? Because he does flips and shit like that.
Yeah, he does all that, but they love it on, you know, like, you know, there's so many huge numbers for videos of Reggie on there. And yeah, it's only kind of equaled by the likes of Roman Reigns. Yeah. And you can kind of see where they've got a sort of hook with that, but I'd like to see AJ run with it. That could be good fun. That
they could love it. It won't happen because they always have guys like
they'll never, you know, think of it.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's why I'm so smart. No, two more matches to discuss. Both matches feature big meaty men slapping meat.
Yes,
we've got Goldberg versus Lashley in a no holds barred match. I don't mind Goldberg, as long as he's not in the WWE title picture. I don't mind who he fights.
Oh yeah, now there's no title on the line. I'm like, anything could happen. Don't care.
Yeah, and plus, like, it's maybe it's the nostalgia, maybe it's just because I'm old, but I like that Goldberg's back. I like Goldberg.
But he's got value though, you know. Like, he still gets a pop, which is a crazy thing. He still gets a pop when he goes out there. And, you know, he's got a recognizable name. People still going to go with it. Yeah, he adds value to a show.
Yeah,
no matter what we think of him being unbelievably sloppy in the ring.
Yeah, but, I mean, he was always, you know, people think this is because of his age. He was like that in Nitro in 1999.
Oh, yeah, yeah, so, he was brutal. He was brutal at times, you know. I mean, like, some of the stuff on Nitro back in the day, he was lethal.
And the other one for the WWE Championship, Drew McIntyre is 1,000 motorbikes drive by my house there. Thanks for that, guys. Drew McIntyre versus Big E for the WWE Championship. Seen a lot of people complaining online that, you know, Drew had the whole couldn't challenge Lashley for the title clause. Now that Lashley doesn't have the championship, the first real challenger for Big E is Drew McIntyre. I don't have a problem with this. It's a
Who
fresh match.
Who else was there?
That's the thing. Put it this way. It's a fresh match. It's on a big stage. It's a proven main event on Drew McIntyre. He's going to move to SmackDown. He's not taking the title with him.
No, not a chance.
So Big E gets the big win over the guy who main evented WrestleMania 2 years ago, the guy who opened WrestleMania this year, you know, the guy who's a two-time WWE champion and led the company through the pandemic. You know, he gets the big win. Drew goes over to SmackDown. Drew starts afresh. Big E starts afresh on Monday. So yeah. I this is the perfect matchup.
Yeah, it's all good. You know, like I said, Big E will win and he'll look good because Drew will put him over well. Drew doesn't lose anything from it. He goes to SmackDown. Happy days. He starts to build himself up to take on Roman at some point, which I'm sure he will do. Maybe that's like, maybe, you know, this is the sad thing that Drew might not, you know, take that title because it looks like Roman's going to roll with it all the way through to Mania, whoever that's going to be. But maybe Drew is either that buffer between Brock and Roman again, or, you know, he's a guy that they're going to build up a little bit slower. You know, he doesn't need to win the Rumble, or maybe he can make a two-time Rumble winner there in Drew. It's one of those. But yeah, there's no way he's winning this. Big E's going to look good. They're going to shake hands at the end of it, and, you know, everyone cheers and goes unhappy. Mutual respect. Two big meaty men slapping meat. Done.
Before, did you hear my... You're mentioning a two-time Rumble winner. Did you hear my plan for Bianca Belair last week?
No, I missed this. So what was it?
I think now that they're both on Raw, it makes it a bit complicated, but I thought Bianca should have been drafted to Raw and Becky should have stayed on SmackDown. That was my plan. Bianca has the match basically won before, you know, the whole triple threat. One person's down because another person's hit the finisher. The third person comes in, kicks the person who hit the finisher out and steals the pin. I thought Bianca should have went to Raw. Bianca is waiting and waiting to get a hold of Becky Lynch. You know, had you beaten, Sasha interfered, you cheap-shotted me, had you beaten again, and you threw me out the ring, blah, blah, blah. And then at the Royal Rumble, we have Bianca Belair win the Rumble again, first two-time Women's Royal Rumble winner. She's one of only two people to win a main event, to win a WrestleMania main event. Her against Becky Lynch, the other woman, to win a WrestleMania main event for the title. I think that could have been great, but now they're both on Raw, so they'll probably fight at TLC in December. So.
Yeah, more than likely. I mean, it'd be great to hold them off to Mania, because again, that's a big, yeah, that just them two on their own is a big pay-per-view match without any interference. And I guess this is the WWE unpredictable streak, isn't it? Because obviously, you know, they threw Sasha in the mix, but now everyone's kind of like, oh, we're all jumping brands and that. So, yeah, that's the unpredictability of it all. But yeah, I think that'd be an interesting idea. It's like the other year when Bayley was champ and, you know, and I thought she was going to swerve Sasha for so long. I thought Sasha could win the Rumble and they'd be like, right, now I've got you. But obviously, that didn't happen due to injuries and things like that.
Yeah, unfortunately. So, honestly, Crown Jewel, I am really looking forward to. I think the fact that we have pay-per-views with crowds again is amazing. You know, it's going to be a stadium full of fans.
Yeah, it's going to be great to look at, isn't it? It's going to be a brilliant thing to see.
Sorry, I was coughing there, listeners. It's a stadium full of fans who haven't had live wrestling in nearly 2 years. We're coming up for 2 years since the last time there was a Saudi pay-per-view.
Yeah, it's pretty wild, isn't it?
Honestly, it is absolutely wild, and I'm quite looking forward to it. Looking forward to Dynamite tonight. Looking forward to the King of the Ring and the Queen's Crown on Friday and seeing how those tournaments play out. And I'm looking forward to next week to seeing how wrong I was about everything I predicted here tonight.
Yeah, it's always good to see how wrong you are.
If you would like to listen to past times I've been wrong, eSleep Suplex Retweet on iTunes, Anchor, Spotify and Android. And of course, if you like to tell me I'm wrong, eSleep Suplex Retweet at Suplex Retweet, sorry, I should say. There you go, wrong again. At Suplex Retweet, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. I can't help it. eSleep Suplex Retweet community, if you want to get involved in the conversation. Thank you very much, John, for joining us.
Pleasure, my friend.
I'm Ross McLeod. I'm hoping to have a lozenge and a better throat next week. And then I'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Scott McLeod.
And I'm Grant McRobbie.
We are the host of the monthly show on eSleep Suplex Retreat East Meets West,
where we'll bring you all the latest happenings, reviews and big events from New Japan and the land of the Far East.
You can remember to check that out on the eSleep Suplex Retreat podcast feed on all good Android podcasting sites like Anchor, Spotify or iTunes now.
Social Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business?
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.